Happy Wednesday, good people. We are officially in the spring season, and it feels like a lot of people have a lot to say. On this episode of WWT Live, we're looking for permission to speak freely as two memoirs have all the wrestling world talking. All of this and much more today on WWT Live.
What is popping, you beautiful humans? It's your girl, Ariane Andrew, and you are watching Women's Wrestling Talk.
9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network on the planet.
Happy Wednesday, good people, and welcome to another edition of WWT Live, part of Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network on the planet. I am the professor. They call me Gerard Bonner around these parts. And there's a lot that we're going to get into today. We're going to learn some things about two brand new memoirs from two of pro wrestling's biggest champions. Plus, we're going to officially talk about why the dream match between Sting and The Undertaker never happened. There's a real reason, and well, it all works together. But I'm not alone. Of course, I am not alone. I am joined by the woman who's got all the honeypot predictions for Raw, for SmackDown. She's doing all of the things. She is wrestling with honey. How are you, ma'am?
Happy Wednesday, middle of the week.
It is the middle of the week, and as we knew, the last 48 hours would not disappoint.
it's like waking up in the morning. It's like every day there's something. You know,
it's
so every time we're locked in at 6 p.m. or 3 p.m., whatever your time is.
Yep.
It's time to talk about something.
It is a guarantee. Now, how are you feeling today?
I'm feeling pretty good. I think like everybody else, I got lots to say as WrestleMania gets closer. So there might be you might see a little out of character-ness in the upcoming weeks. You know, my inner heel likes to come out for WrestleMania. So
well, that reminds me of a certain somebody who we will get to a little bit later today as he set the world ablaze. Now, this is how you know it's WrestleMania season around here. Normally on a Wednesday show, we kick off things with NXT because NXT is usually popping. And not that it wasn't popping, but there are so many other things that are happening that, well, we got to go to those things. So first, shout out to Cousin Ron. We good to see you, my good guy. Shout out to Boza. And thank you for the congratulations on the now 16,000 subscribers. That's pretty wild. Woo! So yeah, the numbers are increasing as they've been, you know, shout out to all of you. There is a large contingency of you who are joining us, who don't hop in the chat, and that's okay. We're just glad that you're with us. And we've literally been seeing record numbers, much like the WWE and these sold out TV shows. We've been seeing record numbers here on WWT Live. So we just really want to say thank you to you guys for finding the conversation, the banter that we have as something of interest to you. And so we hope that today's show will not disappoint. And we're starting off with a name that we haven't talked about in a while, but we knew that when this piece of content would drop, there would be plenty to talk about. We're talking about one third of the first ever women's main event in WrestleMania history. That would be Ronda Rousey. Of course, she's part of the UHC Hall of Fame. And her run in the WWE has been talked about quite a bit by everybody except her until now. She's released a brand new book, and that new book is called Our Fight. And this book, which dropped yesterday, has already caused quite a bit of stir. I want to share an excerpt from this book with you, and you can do what you would like with it. And I'm pretty sure that by the time this show ends, you're going to understand why we call it Permission to Speak Freely. So in her autobiography titled Our Fight, here's what Ronda Rousey had to say. I'm not even going to prep you. I'm just going to read it verbatim. Here's what she said. She said, quote, NXT was founded by and under the control of Triple H, whose real name is Paul Levesque. In addition to being my in-ring WrestleMania nemesis, he is arguably one of the best professional wrestlers in history and one of the better people on the business side. He is married to Stephanie McMahon, who is the daughter of WWE's Emperor Palpatine, Vince McMahon. Vince took over the company from his father in the early 1980s and spent the better part of 40 years playing a real-world pro wrestling version of Monopoly, buying up and absorbing small promotions until he basically owned them all. She continues and says this: "It's hard sometimes to know where the evil, unethical, slimeball character of Vince McMahon played out for the cameras ends and the actual questionably ethical, many times sued and multiple times accused of sexual misconduct Vince McMahon begins. That blurred line between character and reality is a recurring theme within the WWE universe." And then she continues with this. She says, quote, "Pay-per-views are held in major cities like New York, Los Angeles, and Philadelphia, as well as now twice a year in Saudi Arabia, a nation that restricts the rights of women in a way that I'm certain Vince McMahon wishes he could." Again, this is an excerpt straight from the new memoir, the autobiography, coming from Ronda Rousey. It's titled Our Fight. And, well, needless to say, this has got a lot of people talking for a lot of reasons. Now, as I share this, I think it's important to understand Ronda's target audience, which from reading it, it's not necessarily wrestling fans, because wrestling fans would know, you know, about NXT. They'd know about Triple H. They would know what pay-per-views are. They would know all of these things. You wouldn't have to explain that. So it's clear that she's talking to perhaps her UFC fans or some fans that may have known her from the Olympics or somewhere else, not necessarily hardcore wrestling fans. So with that said, honey, what are your thoughts on just this little bit of an excerpt that is out there from the new autobiography from Ronda Rousey?
I mean, I tell you, as an avid book reader and book enthusiast, because I do love reading books, just going off the excerpt alone, I will give it a go, because I mean, it's just, I'm more intrigued to see what her side of the story is. I mean, this is where it's a little hard to draw the line, especially when it comes to memoirs and autobiographies and books people write themselves and have put so much thought and work into it, because you don't want to denounce what they're saying, or you don't want to, you know, just put away with what they're saying, because it's their version of their truth. So she has some things that she has needed to get off her chest for quite some time, which also makes sense, being that, you know, there did seem to be a bit of a power struggle as far as the way she went about her business in WWE. I am very intrigued to see what else she has to say. I'm definitely going to give the book a read. As like I said, I'm a book enthusiast, so I'm all in. But yeah. I'm very interested, because it's not, it's kind of, if you're a wrestling enthusiast such as we, this isn't the first time we've heard, unfortunately, something like this come out.
Sure.
I'm sure that there's a reason to her point and to why she's completely outing everything at this moment in particular time. I find it also kind of the irony in the release of the book being so sudden and just before WrestleMania season hits, you know, so she's kind of smart, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, as far as the branding and marketing scheme. I'm not going to sit here and say that what she's saying is wrong or right or anything like that, because that's not my place to say. I was not in those rooms with her. I was not in her shoes. But what I will say is that she's definitely going to get a lot of flack for this, because there were a lot of wrestling fans that didn't really catch on with her. But she can also, she's also going to get a very good response out of this, because there are lots of people in the world who feel they're not even strong enough to tell their story in any kind of way, as far as any kind of discrimination or anything towards women or anything in the business. But I Rhonda, you picked a hell of a day, girl, because it's the first day of spring. And she says, spring is sprung. I got some things to say. I'm getting this off my chest, whether people like it or not. But granted, obviously, it takes time to write a book. So she knew this was coming. But yeah. It seems like there's a lot of intention behind it, mm-hmm. which I think is definitely going to be the reason why he draws a lot of attention, of course. Intention and attention.
Absolutely. Intention and attention. Great, great point. Now, it is interesting. I do remember when we first heard of both Ronda Rousey and Becky Lynch releasing their books. When we got that news a couple of months ago, we knew it was going to be like this, which mm-hmm. made it even more intriguing in terms of what would you say? Now, think about the marketing brilliance of releasing a book like this during WrestleMania season, you know, basically just 2 weeks or so before WrestleMania. It's a smart move considering that, you know, a large portion of the book is about her journey in the space of pro wrestling. I think where this also will be interesting is most times when we see an autobiography from someone who has been in pro wrestling, that has been their primary sport. That has been what they are known for. When it comes to Ronda Rousey, it's literally like she's an outsider that's had a chance to come into this world. And so she's going to have a different perspective than perhaps others might. So I think it's going to be interesting to see what she has to say. Let's go to some of these comments here. Special Little Nobodies is here. And this already is up. He once again could be up for comment of the day. He says the Honey signing is more of a ratings draw than the recent AEW signing. So there you are. We love having you with us, Honey. Absolutely. And the people do too. I love to see that. Bosa says, to be fair, this memoir picks up from where the MMA door slammed in Ronda's face for good. I think she knows that if Paul was running things when she was there, it would have been fun. Well, and so stick to that idea because we're going to come and revisit that, Boza. He says, if you notice her first run, she did everything, including house shows. Her second run, she was just doing TV to the point where SmackDown fans were literally begging Charlotte Flair to come back. I will say, relative to her run, I think that's part of the reason why wrestling fans may not receive this as openly as they might Becky Lynch's book. Yes. For instance, I don't think, and that's because they didn't necessarily receive her run well. I think the first part of her run, people were here for.
Oh,
literally,
yeah.
that first year from her WrestleMania debut to the WrestleMania main event, people were here for. But I think that second run is where people just kind of went, I'm not necessarily feeling this. And she did not do anything that would endear herself to them one way or the other, which I think is interesting. Eddie, good to see you. Jeffrey, good to see you. Boza says, what about her competing with Becky Lynch, not your average girl that's coming out Tuesday? I can't say that it's competition per se.
It's just the same day. It would probably be more competition.
Yeah. If it were the same day, I'd say there's more competition. B, if it were to the same audience, I'd say there's more competition. But Becky Lynch's book will clearly be towards wrestling fans as that's where her audience is. I think we have to acknowledge that Ronda Rousey's audience was already big coming into the world of pro wrestling. And I'm not sure that she gained a ton of fans in the space of pro wrestling. So her core audience is still that group of people who supported her outside of pro wrestling, which I think is what makes the content and the intent of this book a bit different than what we're seeing from Becky. And we've got a Becky quote coming for you guys in a little bit. MDB is here. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. I was going to say, Ronda Rousey, I can't deal with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah.
I was going to say, it would seem that if you wanted to consider this a competing kind of situation, I think Becky kind of already had her beat, being that it was announced since like the end of last year and she was already mm-hmm. promoting it since then and pre-ordering it. Mm-hmm. But you know, other than that, I don't really see a competition. Both women in their own right and had their own decorated careers have a right to you know, say things that they want to say as well. And you best believe I'll be getting both books.
And the other thing is, certainly by just about all accounts, from social media space to you know, general fandom, you could make the argument that the WWE's fan base is larger than the UFC's fan base. And so, again, we're looking at, I think, two different sets of fans. So that the only commonality here is that they both shared a wrestling ring and that they're both in combat sports, but their audience, their target audiences for these books are, are completely different. So that's why we can't even compare that. Let's see. Jeffrey says, I was on the Ronda train her first run. Wish it generated on her second run after she had a child. And I think that's the consensus of a lot of people, that they were never, or they weren't on the second train. Now, MDB never felt Ronda at all. And that is okay, too. Some people are in that category. Special Little Nobody says she had, she even had heat with MMA fans toward the end of her UFC run. That's the truth. It could be that she's not likable as a personality, which is a whole nother, you know, conversation. And if you think about it, with the UFC, it's okay if you don't have a ton of personality. They're there to see you beat somebody up. Right. In the WWE, in pro wrestling, you know, personality is key and it's king. You know, and so if that doesn't connect with people, all of the fighting ability in the world won't necessarily translate. So if you're interested in checking out her book tour, which I think is also interesting in terms of timing, her book tour and location, she will be in New York City on April the 2nd, which, of course, is the night after the Raw before Mania. And she's got several stops there in the Northeast. Rounding that out, of course, on April the 6th, which is WrestleMania Saturday in Philly at WrestleCon. So there is obviously something to that. And she has a number of dates following that as well. So we'll certainly be on the lookout to hear what kinds of things are happening and to see, you know, exactly how this book sells, of course, on the Times bestseller list, Amazon, and all of those particular places. So we mentioned Ronda Rousey in terms of her book that is out. The other interesting piece of news that dropped today is an excerpt from the new author that we've already alluded to, Becky Lynch. Her new book, The Man, Not Your Average, Average Girl, is set to hit this coming Tuesday. And there is a very interesting snippet coming from her book that I'm going to share with you. Again, just kind of basically summarizing this. In this book, she gives insight about something that I know a lot of wrestling fans are very interested in. A lot of wrestling fans will remember SummerSlam 2021. We'll set the stage for you. This was Bianca Belair was still the champion. And in her first run as champion, and here comes Becky Lynch making a surprise return. If we remember, there was supposed to be a match between Sasha, strangely enough, and Bianca at this SummerSlam. That's what was supposed to happen. Sasha was injured and nobody really talked about it. And so she did not show up. Becky Lynch ultimately shows up and then wins this match in a solid something like 26 or 38 seconds. I'm trying to remember the exact number. Squash. It was a very, very quick number. We've not heard Becky Lynch ever talk about this until this book. And in the book, she says that after she defeated Bianca Belair, she went backstage and saw Belair crying, feeling like her momentum had been killed. But, you know, Bianca being Bianca passed it off as though she was happy for Becky Lynch. Becky reassured her that she would do right by her, and her goal was to get Bianca a big moment at WrestleMania 38, hence the rematch that we saw with Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair, WrestleMania 38. She also in this book confirms that Vince McMahon wanted the squash when it, and okay, let me repeat that. She confirmed that Vince McMahon wanted this result to happen at SummerSlam. And she confirmed that Becky had absolutely no say in this happening. Now, if you remember that time in the internet world, people were very upset with Becky Lynch to the point where it turned Becky heel. But Becky had nothing to do with it. Instead, Becky, you know, offered her support to Bianca Belair. Just that snippet alone. What are your thoughts on A, what she shared, and B, what you think we're going to get in this book?
I mean, there's a lot of things I know we're going to get in this book, and it's going to be so good, especially coming from her story and knowing the come up that she's had, Miss Rebecca Quinn, AKA the man Becky Lynch now, the woman to win two belts at a WrestleMania, and one of the first women to main event WrestleMania, period. It goes to show you the kind of heart she has as a person, and she knows, it comes off like she's not full of herself, and she knows her peers and knows the talent of her peers, and a lot of women, not just Becky, have shared their constant praise for Bianca ever since NXT when she just came into it. Charlotte Flair, Sasha Banks, aka Mercedes, everybody, Mia Yim also. Lots of women have said nothing but great things about Bianca Belair. So it goes to show you the kind of heart she had and the fact that she stuck to her word and said, I will pay you back for this, because this was unfortunately out of my control. And it would be the case where it's one of those cases where Vince can say, nobody's changing my mind, this is what I want, and that's it. It's kind of unfortunate, because a lot of people would feel that it kind of took the wind out of Bianca's sails, but I don't think it did. It ended up giving her character, and it ended up giving Becky character too, in order to take in being a heel, because that was when she went the whole big time Becky Hollywood kind of route, you know, and it kind of evolved both of them into something different. So it's hard to say, because I'm not in those rooms making those decisions, and I'm not, you know, the brain of Vincent Kennedy McMahon, but for whatever reason he felt, I guess that's what he felt. And but Becky Lynch was very, I love how vulnerable she's being, and I love how transparent she's being. So it's all it's gonna do, like as Ronda Rousey's book is going to do, is going to make people want to get it, so that way they could see what's really in there and what's really in the mind of these women and what's really went down in some of these situations.
Yeah, you know, what's also interesting, an earlier excerpt that's come from this book talks about her desire to see Shayna Baszler win their WrestleMania match back at WrestleMania 36. You know, and again, that too was something out of her hands. And so I think it's very, very interesting to see some of the things that Becky Lynch is saying in this book and where she is attributing credit for some of these things that didn't happen. And I think already, just again, judging from these two snippets, this is how we know that they are, again, directed towards two different audiences, because these stories that Becky are already telling are answers to questions that wrestling fans have wanted to know and they've never heard her talk about. Again, the information that we're seeing from the Ronda Rousey book is not information that wrestling fans aren't already aware of, specifically speaking of, you know, the things that we just shared in that one. So this is very interesting. Let's go to some of these comments here as they are firing off, which I absolutely love. Let's see. Special Little Nobody says, I like her because when the Scrat Pack hung out in Venice, they used to come watch my band play. That's interesting. What's the name of your band? And what kind of music do you guys play? I would love to know.
Any downloads we could get off that?
yeah. Let us know. Boza says, Becky all but confirmed my gut on that night. Vince panicked because 20 hours earlier, CM Punk showed up in AEW and got Rampage a million. First time WWE saw AEW as competition. I'm still not convinced of that, Boza. I'm sorry. I know you want me to be convinced of that, but I'm just not. And part of the reason why I'm not convinced of that is because, why would Vince McMahon on a pay-per-view be threatened by a show on a Rampage show, which it doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. Let's see. Jeffrey says, I read this snippet just now. It's so big of Becky to do that. Yeah, I think we might be calling Becky big time Bex for a completely different reason after reading this book, because the big time will be the size of her heart. Boza says, we weren't upset that Becky beat Bianca. We were upset that it was a 20-second squash. Basically, Becky didn't break a sweat to win at the time. I think I can agree that people were upset that it was a squash. I think people were also upset that Becky comes back in match one to basically wipe out all that Bianca did, 20 seconds or not. But the 20 seconds, I think, added some real issues to that for sure. Let's see. Jeffrey says, all I want to know is the beef with her and Charlotte and what went wrong. We might find that out in this book. I don't doubt that at all. Let's see. Becky Lynch sounds like Lucky Charms. No. Yeah.
Good Lord, yeah, MDB. Yeah, what are we going to do with you?
You just, you know.
The gift that keeps on giving.
Right. I feel like I just read that comment. So let's see. Tony Khan and Vince McMahon's booking decisions aren't so far off from each other. I don't know that I agree with that, but Becky has had an interesting career. The punch led to the man. The squash led to big time Bex. She turns lemons into lemon meringue pie. I would totally agree with that. Let's see. Becky knew she was pregnant, but Vince wanted to get her to 400 days, basically. Oh, you're referencing the situation with Shayna Baszler. Let's see what else is here. Oh, the band was called Backyard Pimps. This is Special Little Nobody's band. They did rock and hip hop. I'm the lead singer. We're on YouTube. Had a 12-year run. That sounds like fun. Let me write this down.
Backyard Pimps.
Yeah, it's probably even better. Well, no, that's TK's joke. I'm gonna let her. I won't do that. Nope. Now, if you guys are interested in checking out the book tour for Becky Lynch, of course, the book goes on sale officially next Tuesday. You can pre-order it right now, wherever it is that you get your books. She will be doing book signings at a number of places on release day next Tuesday. She'll be in New York at Barnes and Noble. She'll also be doing some in New Jersey, D.C.,
yes,
Boston, Madison, Connecticut. And then she'll be doing one in Philly on April the 2nd. And, of course, WrestleMania is all that week. And then after that, April the 13th, she'll be out in L.A. So if you're in any of those cities or you want to go and check her out, for the book signing, that's all of the information there. So that's pretty cool. Looking forward to seeing the success of both of these books, quite honestly, because I think they're both going to give us a lot of great information that hopefully we will find to be useful. So with that said, he's here, ladies and gentlemen.
I love the transition there. I didn't expect that.
I love that he used "with that being said," and then boom, there's Seth.
Right. Transitions.
Thank you, sir.
You ate that for
fun. How are you, kind sir?
I am great. A little tired today. Sorry I'm late. Duty calls, though. And, I'm trying to be on time these days. I don't want TK to take away those shares. So, those in the comments, just let her know I was on time today.
Yeah, which reminds me, I missed a great opportunity, but that's okay. I'll just say shout out to Dylan, who is our unofficial producer, who has been putting in work behind the scenes.
Oh yeah, I saw it.
You just have to go follow Dylan to see what we're referencing. Stuff. But he definitely is paying attention to the show, and I appreciate that. We were just wrapping up our conversation about these books from Ronda Rousey and Becky Lynch. Any quick thoughts on the excerpts that we've seen and if they will generate interest for you to check these books out?
Man, I feel like the Becky Lynch book started to become a bit of a tell-all into kind of her absence before coming back at SummerSlam a couple years ago and the kind of the things that she wanted. And I can see that at her core, she's all about, I guess, making the division equal, like not so many people being at the top, making sure everybody has equity within the women's division. And I think reading her excerpt about wanting to put over Baszler and about having that moment against Bianca, which was just, if you remember at the time, the way that happened, that squash match, just man slam, we're out of here. For that to happen to Bianca,
right,
is insane. Mm-hmm. but it happened, and you can see if you just go behind the veil a little bit, these aren't things that she wanted, and you can see by her efforts in NXT the past year and how she wants to create kind of a level playing field for all. So that's pretty dope. From Ronda's aspect, that's a hell of a quote. It's a hell mm-hmm. of a quote. But it's pretty cool that a lot of people are starting to speak out, if you will, about how things were, and also shed light into how great things are now. I don't know if you guys saw this online. I didn't put it in our chat, but AJ Styles had a quote out mm-hmm. recently as well, talking about the landscape and how he wished so many people, some of his friends in that regard, would come to WWE now, because it is a lot different, and that you mm-hmm. do get a fair shake, and how he would say people would get cut before, where now you can just go get some work on NXT. So right. I think we're starting to see that there's a lot of growth that took place this past year and some change, and that it's good and going to be better for the foreseeable future. Mm-hmm. Like there's mm-hmm. complete contrast in what was before than what there is now.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's pretty powerful. And as you say that leads me to another very interesting piece of information. And all of this has just come out in the last 48 hours. And it's just very interesting to me. And that is this. For longtime wrestling fans who may date back even to the Attitude Era, you know, there's one dream match that we all wanted that we never got. Certainly during the Golden Era, it was Hogan Flair, and we thought we would get that in WWE. That ended up happening in WCW. Pretty much all of the other dream matches we thought we wanted somehow happened, except for this one. That would be Sting versus The Undertaker. And we thought we were getting close to it at WrestleMania 31 when Sting finally donned the doors of WWE. And it seemed like this was going to be the match that would happen. Instead, that became Sting and Triple H. So we've always wondered, why didn't this happen? Well, we got our answer from, of all people, The Undertaker. The Undertaker recently went on the 6 Foot Under podcast. And what he said in no uncertain terms is this didn't happen because Vince had no interest in it. Vince McMahon had no interest in Sting versus The Undertaker. And no matter how many ways different people brought it to him, according to The Undertaker, it was not of interest to him at all. So let's ask the question, because in most other parts of the wrestling world, we've seen people come back together. And, you know, even if it was past their prime, they tried the match, depending upon who those people were. Here's the question. Did Vince McMahon get it right by not putting Sting and The Undertaker together in a match?
You know, the funny thing about that is that a lot of people, it might be revisionist history, because for all of us that wanted to see it, do we really feel like it would have been this in-ring spectacle outside of just the buildup? And I think that might have been the decision and why it wasn't done when Sting was finally under the WWE banner. But also, I have to feel, for somebody with the amount of rank that Taker has backstage, is that if he wanted to kind of override that, he could have been like, nah, Vince, we got to make this happen.
You know, I don't know, because the rumors that are out there about the very infamous breaking of the streak, you know, that was a last minute decision, we're told, from Vince, that Taker, he didn't want to do that. And Vince ultimately had the last word. So I think that for as much stroke as Taker has, I think he has that stroke in certain spaces. But as we're seeing, and there's a very interesting theme with the three stories we've just shared, the theme, and I imagine, you know, some of you who've watched Scandal probably can figure this out. If not, I hope you can still figure out the theme here. Again, Vince McMahon very much controlled the WWE the way that he wanted it. And He didn't want this match. Now, honey, I have to tell you that the people are saying a lot from your face when we talked about this. Jeffrey says you look befuddled. And then MDB says your face is saying a lot without saying anything. Would you care to add some words for the people who are not having the pleasure and privilege of seeing your face? What is your face saying?
My face is obviously saying, Vince, you did get it wrong. I think this might have been the one thing you did get wrong. Do I think it should have happened when Sting was under the umbrella? Probably not. That probably wouldn't have worked out well. But if you had these two in their prime back around the Attitude Era, and, you know, obviously Sting was loyal to WCW, and I get that. But you mean to tell me there couldn't have been something, anything? Because you know, like, when you have thousands and thousands of screaming fans and people for decades have been saying this, Vince, we need this match. The fans want this match. Like, when Sting came in, that was the first thing that was mentioned. Why it possibly wasn't the first thing to be done, and it had to be, you know, Seth Rollins, I guess. I don't know. Or, I mean, Triple H or whatever. It is what it is. You know, it happened already, and they're both retired. So I don't want to go till I'm blue in the face, but did he get it wrong? Abso-freaking-lutely. For me, anyway. And this is something even that somebody, as far as somebody who was born way before the Attitude Era, who was born in the late 60s, my father had always imagined something between these two, even if it wasn't a matchup or at least a team up, something. It would have been more than a spectacle. It definitely would have been like a WrestleMania moment. It could have been a casket match. It could have been something crazy. It could have been anything creatively insane. Of all the things that Vince has come up with in his history of being running WWE and wrestling and the wrestling business the way he has, of all the ridiculous ideas that we've seen him try to pitch and try to push at us, and we're like, are you kidding me? This, like, look at it. Just looking at the picture, it's like, you know, and even for current fans, I'll even say that's like missing an opportunity to get possibly Shawn Michaels and AJ Styles if they were in the same room and still able to work together, you know, because we all know Shawn is not working no more. But it's one of those missed cue opportunities where I'm just like, why and why not? Because it could have even became a thing. They could have had a rivalry last three WrestleManias, and Sting tried to break Undertaker's streak and he couldn't do it or something like that. Like anything, but you know, we live in a universe where this is missed, and maybe there will be another universe somewhere else where we actually do see it. But no, he did not get it right.
Yeah, it's interesting. Now, one of the things that The Undertaker said was, if this were to have happened, he would have preferred for it to happen in the 2008-2009 era when he was in his bag, yes. Which I must say, yes, that version of Taker was a problem. Ooh. Remember, it was 2009 when he had that absolutely iconic match with Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 25. You know, he was absolutely in his bag. So, you know, it does make you wonder for a company that historically, you know, always figures out where the money is and can create the big money matches. Because this match, you know, if people are talking about a technical masterpiece, the characters of Sting and Undertaker weren't about technical masterpieces. They were about being larger than life, at times otherworldly. And, you know, being able, they could likely tell that story, you know, again, without having to worry about a ton of amazing moves. But, you know, matter of fact, I think even if they had gotten a stare down.
Yes, a face off.
You know what I mean? Like, just let them pass by each other and let people get chills. Like, that kind of thing. I think missing out on that is something that I think wrestling fans certainly regret.
The only time we got a good stare down, I think, what Rumble was that? Was it the Rumble with, I think it was Taker, Goldberg, and Lesnar? where they had that moment.
It was taken.
They could have easily inserted.
That was the one in San Antonio. Yep. Yeah, I was there for that, and I remember that particular moment. And so, it's super interesting how these moments were missed. And unfortunately, because they both have retired, it would be kind of challenging to get that to happen again. Jeffrey makes an interesting point: Taker versus Sting in 2005. That would have been even crazier. That would have been even crazier because Sting was killing it toward the TNA days, and he was still very much pretty strong after his WCW run. So it's all interesting to see, again, the connection involving Vince McMahon and these major decisions that are now all seemingly coming out. I just think that's interesting that so many people in this given week all of a sudden, you know, are finding the liberty and the permission to speak freely about this kind of issue. Now, speaking freely was something that certainly happened Monday night, and it surprised a lot of people in terms of how freely this man spoke. That, of course, is Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes, off the heels of a rock concert Friday night in Memphis, people wondered how would he respond. And let's just think about this. Remember the week before, you know, when he slapped The Rock, then he went on to Raw, and he ended up shedding some tears about wanting to be able to present the championship to his mother because he can't present it to his father. The Rock took that and ran with it, went nuts on the socials, went nuts on SmackDown. And so the question is, how would he respond? And Cody had a very, very, very strong response. And that strong response actually had some people in WWE questioning some things. You know, a lot of questions were, why did Cody get to break the rule? So now take what I'm about to say with a grain of salt. Okay. As a matter of fact, as we're saying that, I want to preface it by saying this.
Allegedly.
Okay. So now that we have that out of the way, there was a report that was on the Wrestling Observer Radio. Of course, that's Brian Alvarez and Dave Meltzer. And on this, they're saying, for one, that there was firstly a memo sent out to the talent in WWE. And the memo was sent out to them basically saying initially that they could not swear on social media, even though The Rock was allowed to. And some of them were irritated because they felt like there was a double standard in place. And they felt like if they were allowed to use some of the words that The Rock used, that they could have some more effective promos. Cue up Monday night, where it was believed that Cody Rhodes was given the opportunity to use a very strong promo because they believed that if he didn't, that The Rock would end up looking like the baby face in all of this, and he would end up getting, you know, the shine because of how people responded to it. So this promo was designed to allow Cody Rhodes to look super strong so people could see he had some fight in him. And that's why they allowed, and I mean, the language that was used was very shocking. It was not bleeped in the live space. On the YouTube spaces, they have, you know, obviously done some things like that. So let's ask the question, what were your thoughts on this Cody promo? I mean, there's a lot to take away from it, from him bringing Pharaoh to him wearing black, which we rarely see him do, to the words that he said, etc. Thoughts on the Cody promo? Honey, we'll start with you.
First off, Pharaoh wearing a collar, side scarf, handkerchief that says The Rock is a cat. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I think the comebacks were so brilliant. I think this promo alone is, I mean, granted, we've been going crazy for these guys since February in Vegas. So this promo, I remember watching it at first, like, oh boy, here we go. He's just going to say something and all of this. And then when he really started chef cooking with the pot, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I sat up. I was like, I beg your pardon. Excuse me. What did you just like, you know? And I love having those reactions and being surprised like that. It was shocking enough when The Rock was doing it, even if he was doing it on social media, yet, you know, like, granted, I guess whatever it's in their contract is in their contract, but you mean to tell me that you're going to tell The Rock what not to say on his own social media, somebody who's built himself from $7 to the ground up and is the world's biggest movie star, you know, but for Cody to come back with that much fire, I was very pleased. Mm-hmm. Because it's only making the anticipation greater for these two to get in the ring. And when that, and like he said, when that bell rings, is it going to be that big Dwayne energy or is it going to be that LDS? You know what I'm saying? And when he said that, I lost it. I completely lost it on the couch. I was like, whoa, okay. Well, I mean, but because it's technically, that's a name, technically. You know, so there was little innuendos you could get away with, which I thought were very clever. So whoever was in charge of sitting in that room with Cody and figuring out what to do, kudos to y'all, because that was very well done. And it's definitely got I had goosebumps. Mm. I was just like, I just can't wait for WrestleMania to get here. And then when it starts, I want it to go very slow. That's all I want. Very
enjoy,
<slow.
laughs> enjoy the experience. Sed, what are your thoughts on this promo, man?
All the back and forth about the double standard stuff is kind of weird because, like, isn't that the point of the whole final boss shtick?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He can do what he wants because he's the boss. He's on the board. So if he wants to cuss and say, you can't cuss, I mean, that's the whole point. That's the whole point of him saying he'll make the title disappear. We can and a month from now he can take the title off Seth and put it on Dominic Mysterio if he wants to. That's the whole point of what he's saying. Mm-hmm. So yes. What I love about this promo is that this entire thing has been a world of pivoting.
Yes. We're
pivoting on the fly. We got to the press conference, which drew the most disliked video on YouTube of all time. This is not wrestling related. This is on YouTube. It's just the most disliked thing on YouTube, which caused the pivot, which got us this heel version of The Rock, which we're leaning into every week. And fans wanted that. They've wanted that for years, but you got to be careful. This is why you have to allow Cody some more leash because as soon as we got heel Rock, it's like, oh, this is cool. I didn't think this was happening. And you run the risk of having far more Dwayne fans come Mania than Cody fans.
Right.
Far more. Right. And after the entrance and the Rock concert in Memphis, if you see how aggressive it is and how many views it's gotten, how many hits since Friday, you run the risk of there being no Cody merch being sold at Mania at all. That's how dangerous this is.
Like it made hashtag Cody Crybabies look like an afterthought. Almost. Yeah.
You almost need to run a segment where The Rock kicks his dog and on TV or something to turn up the heat because we're walking a very thin tightrope right now where you're gonna have to make Cody look more and more like the guy, at least from an in-ring standpoint, because on the mic it's not gonna happen.
And I hope
they don't do one of these promos in the ring at the same time.
I was just going to piggyback off that because that thin line that they're walking is kind of reminding me of when, what was it? Isn't it like 20 something years ago since Hogan and The Rock fought at WrestleMania? And this was supposed to be heel Hogan and face Rock, but everybody was cheering up for Hogan and everybody was booing The Rock. It's they're walking that line. And I think they're trying to do that on purpose. I think they're welcoming it. And then when it comes, it's gonna slap us in the face, y'all.
It's like when Jericho debuted in WWF back in the day, and it was supposed to be his big moment, and The Rock just completely overshadowed that on the mic.
What's funny is that I watched that video to this day, and I don't think that I think everybody knows that everybody says that The Rock overshadowed him because it's The Rock, but I still think that Jericho ate that up and ran with it. You know what I mean? Like I would argue that.
Here is, I think, one of the dangerous parts that I don't think anybody is considering. you cannot take a blanket and cover up the sun. It's not going to work, okay? The Rock is the sun. Wherever he goes, he's going to outshine everything and everybody there. And so what I think is so interesting in all of this, and I don't know that we've even talked about this here, is we have a bit of a conundrum. And it's the conundrum that amid everything everybody's talking about, nobody's talking about this conundrum. And that is this. What is the real main event of WrestleMania? Because on Sunday night, on Sunday night, there's a co-main event. But the person that's been forgotten in this entire equation is the tribal chief. He's been forgotten. About this. Ever since The Rock showed up, what's the last thing Roman Reigns said?
But he needed him to acknowledge him.
That's the last thing he said.
Probably the only thing he said.
And that's the only thing he said. He's been over in the corner while The Rock comes out on his own. The Rock stands center stage. The rest of the bloodline is over to the far right, barely in the camera shot. And here's the thing. This has turned into Cody versus The Rock. Seth gets an occasional jab in there, and it's like, oh, Seth can punch. And Roman is quiet as a church mouse. So I think this Friday's going to get interesting because it's really, now we get Roman and Cody. Oh, Roman has something to say. Please let's hear you because you're the forgotten one in all this. And how think about this. How big is The Rock if he can come back and make the people forget about 3.5 years of Roman Reigns like that? Like that. Think about this. The last year.
3.5 years.
3.5 years. Now, the last year, everybody's been talking about the rematch. Cody versus Roman. It's got to happen. It's got to happen. It's got to happen. They got mad when The Rock said he was going to come in and take on Roman. But nobody's mad right now because we're looking at the verbal jabs between Cody and The Rock.
They distracted
Roman Reigns has gotten lost in all of this. And that, to me, is the piece that nobody's talking about. And at some point, it's going to come out. And I don't know if it comes out Friday. I don't know if it comes out WrestleMania weekend. But there's no way. Think about how crazy this is. They just put up an ad that The Rock is going to be at the last Raw before Mania on April the 1st in Barclays. So you know how crazy that's going to be. Nobody's advertising, hey, Roman Reigns is going to be at Raw. Like, they're not doing that. So this is a very interesting time, and I never thought in a million years going into WrestleMania 40 that the conversation would not be about Roman Reigns. It's about everything circling him. There, people aren't even talking about, remember coming into this WrestleMania season, people were like, well, you know, Roman's probably not going to lose because he's got to beat Hogan's record. Nobody's even talking about that anymore.
That's exactly what I was going to lead into. What did Heyman say? Bottom of the third. We're probably top of the fifth right now. And this is the part of the Bloodline saga that just centers around Dwayne. And we get further and further down the road to we just quietly break that record. And we talk about Rock Roman 41.
Yeah, it's really
that's just a lot.
Let's see. Oh man, so many comments. Oh my goodness. Let's see. Jeffrey says you disrespect this family like that. You better say some stuff back. I agree. Like, it makes sense why Cody had the promo that he it totally makes sense.
And then it's cool that Dustin is on socials like fanning the flames as well. Even if he can't get away, like it adds layers.
But to that end, that's the cool part. We're seeing Dustin show up in this. We're seeing Brian Gerwitz show up in this. We're seeing all of these ancillary people who are not supposed to be a part of this being a part of this, which makes this whole thing even greater. And we love
it
to see
it. Completely distracted us from the initial plan at hand or whatever they even thought of. Like, they completely turned it into a whole nother talking point.
Yeah, it's crazy. Boza says lots of pivoting. Hopefully they give them a happy moment, although it feels like we could get Rocky Balboa or Miracle at Eagle Stadium.
You know what I've been thinking lately? Because a lot of people maybe not as much now, but there's a lot of people that want to see Cody get his moment, win the title and stuff like that. But all this Dwayne stuff adds so many different layers. So like, what if he just pushed a button to have Priest cash in at that moment?
I thought about that as well. I literally like, thought about so that.
There's so many
yesterday.
Layers.
No.
We've been all assuming that Priest would cash in on Seth or Drew. But can you imagine, picture it, Sicily, 1917. No, seriously, picture it, Philly, night one, the Bloodline wins. We get a Bloodline rules match Sunday night. Literally, Cody fights the whole Bloodline, finds a way to barely scrape and claw, and he wins the match. They're screaming, whoa! And then the music hits. Here comes Damian Priest, and he cashes in, and they have no choice but to count to three, and Damian Priest is your new WWE champion.
Yeah, listen. And then Cody has another dynasty to get over, the Judgment
yes.
Day.
Yes.
And these are people he's very familiar with and had beef with before. So this would totally make sense to do that, because we have been saying that, yeah, it can happen with Drew and Seth. They've done a really good job. Like, every single layer of this WrestleMania has been dissected all from the press conference. Mm-hmm. And because of the results that they didn't receive from the fans about Rock versus Roman, it has become much more complicated than that in a way that we have never thought it would get to. Even down to the women and Rhea Ripley, every single thing, the brother versus brother match. Mm-hmm. Hello, Rikishi getting involved because he even reposted that. Like once he's like, all I know is that we all win. He said on social media. And they're, the Samoans are running it, and they are completely distracting us from the situation at hand. Nobody's talking about Send Your Money in the Bank.
Nobody.
I mean, you might be talking about DM Hunk here and there because he's holding his own, you know. Seth is completely, like, kind of disappeared, you know what I mean? Like, only when his song comes on, you know, it's not much else going on. Like, Seth has completely been forgotten. Roman Reigns. If this is going to be one of the wildest WrestleManias that we've ever seen, because it is like, it's a milestone. It's a 40-year long-running pay-per-view and a PLE event, and this is the 40th one. You think that this isn't going to be larger than life? There's something that's happening, that's going to happen with that tag team that they're not telling us. And it's all four of them have the biggest star power when it comes to the wrestling business. So who are they building up? And who couldn't be a more perfect person than Damian Priest, someone who's been forgotten about since War Games, I would say. Somebody who's been forgotten about since he got that contract. Like they could be building up to get the first Puerto Rican champion in WWE. I remember WWE has saying reports of that months ago, saying that they're looking to build that, you know, or build a new champion really soon. So who are they making room for? Who are they rolling out the red carpet? Because damn it, that's a hell of a red carpet.
This is going to be a very, very, very special time. And since we're mentioning WrestleMania, this is so funny. We got a bunch of other things to talk about, but this is where we've been landing, guys. So I'm not mad at it at all. It's the biggest stories. Speaking of WrestleMania, WrestleMania is getting clearer and clearer by the day. It's official. It is Jimmy versus Jay. That is an official match that's going to be happening. And I think that's going to be crazy. Again, we've got a couple of weeks left to get some promos, and Jay and Jimmy really started cooking again Monday night. And I'll tell you, and yes, special little nobodies, I was going to mention that he would be the first Puerto Rican champion since Pedro Morales, who was one of the longest reigning WWE champions and the first to simultaneously hold the WWE and Intercontinental Championships at the same time. But we've got Jey Uso and Jimmy Uso battling. And again, the irony that they were part of the WrestleMania Saturday main event and now last year, and now here they are one-on-one in their own dream match. And I'm really excited that they're getting to have this. Speaking of dream matches and dream opportunities, we're finding out who's going to be in this ladder match for the tag team championships. And congratulations to Awesome Truth. They qualified to be in there by defeating Indus Sheer. And then this match right here, it cooked. DIY and the Creed Brothers.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Lord.
That scared me for a second. I was about to say, they better let Gargano and Ciampa get on the card, man.
Yeah, I got scared, too. I got scared.
Me too. A lot of people were upset. I did see a lot of, like, a lot of people, like saying that they were upset that the Creed Brothers should have got, but There'll be plenty of time. Those boys ain't going nowhere. And DIY, for this being their first WrestleMania, congratulations, because I love it for them. And I love DIY. And for Miz to even still be in a picture in Mania, you can't have Mania without Miz, if you ask me personally.
Now, the last the 40th. Four spots, correct me if I'm wrong, because I think it should be AOP and Street Profits, but AOP is taking on the Street Profits for
correct
a slot,
for the
right?
For one of those spots, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the other is New Catch Republic. Mm-hmm. They moved up in the bracket. They just beat Pretty Deadly.
I think it's interesting that
they got Legado.
Yeah.
I'm surprised Pretty Deadly. Well, we know Legado's not going because they're doing Stand and Deliver, what it seems like.
Well, maybe. No, not LWO. Might be
LWO is doing
Wrong people. Wrong people.
They beat LWO, so they're fighting for a spot.
Talking about Garza and Humberto, right?
Right, yeah. Right. So this is going to be very, very interesting. Let's see. Jeffrey was on the bump, or Johnny was on the bump. Yes, they were very, very grateful for what happened, and I'm really excited for them. To get this opportunity in a match that I think that they're going to really shine in. And of course, the New Day getting another spot, which I think speaks to the resurgence of the New Day. They have staying just hung power. In there. Exactly. Staying mm-hmm. power. And in this ladder match, you know, it's going to be ridiculous. Six-pack ladder match for the tag team championship. So excited about that. And again, these guys are very, very pleased to be in this. And they've had some heartfelt messages they've been putting out on the social. So I feel like we spoke this into the universe when we got the news about Shayna Baszler being a part of Bloodsport. And we asked the question, who would she fight? And somebody, I don't remember who, I don't know if it was in the chat, if it was one of us, who mentioned Masha Slamovich, and much like Joe Hendry, say his name and he'll appear. And here we are. We said their names and it's happening. Bloodsport. Thursday night, April the 4th, or excuse me, Thursday afternoon, April the 4th, it's Shayna Baszler versus Masha Slamovich. Now, what's so interesting about this is the last time we had a TNA versus WWE situation, it was at the Royal Rumble on WWE turf. But now we have to acknowledge this is WWE versus TNA on a GCW show.
Neutral grounds. Like this
is amazing.
What year am I in? What planet am I on?
This is so good. It's so good.
Alternate universe.
So you guys will be able to check it out exclusively on Triller TV. Again, that's happening Thursday afternoon, April the 4th at 4 p.m. You're going to want to check it out. Of course, GCW, they've got a whole collective that's happening where you can get a package to get like all 12 cards that are connected to that, and there are a lot of them. There's a For the Culture show that Billy Dixon is throwing with some amazing matches that's happening, and I believe that's that Thursday night, like at 11:59 p.m. Some just amazing things are happening Mania weekend, but we're definitely going to have our eyes on Shayna versus Masha. And you've got to wonder, obviously TNA is going to be talking about this. You got to think WWE will mention this, which, by the way, last night on NXT, and it's crazy that we've gone an hour before our first mention of NXT on a Wednesday, but I was blown away by the fact that Booker T mentioned the New Japan or the IWGP tag title reigns and the Impact title reigns of the Good Brothers.
Oh, I did hear him say that.
Kind of blew me away. So yeah, a really, really big deal. And again, I think it says a lot about where we're going right now in this universe. And, you know, we're talking about forbidden doors. It seems like WWE right now is on top of the forbidden door, which I think is going to be amazing. Boza says, I can see a lot of media wanting to be credentialed for that show. I can definitely see that. Let's see. Take my money, special of nobody. Absolutely. Jeffrey says this is unreal. It certainly is. Eric says Sasha versus Masha is cinema. Boza says it's part of a four-woman tournament. And he says, I wonder if WWE will air all 11 shows during Mania Week. They actually, GCW has a deal right now with Triller. So we'll have to see if that is the case. And yes, there was. So let me just say this. Jeffrey, he says he even mentioned the CM Punk situation. Well, technically, Vic Joseph mentioned the CM Punk situation.
Yeah, he did.
but this is the cool thing. This is why you really have to pay attention to what's happening in commentary land in WWE, because if you don't, you'll miss a lot of hidden gems. For instance, during the Ricochet match Monday night, they kept referencing Puma.
Yes.
I said, McAfee. Oh my God. Like, yes, we're talking Lucha Underground here. Like, so it's those kinds of things that says to me the world and the landscape in WWE is much different than what we have seen in times past. Because remember, you know, it was almost like if it didn't happen here, it didn't happen. Now we're acknowledging and we're subtly acknowledging some of the other things that have been going on. And it's been amazing. Every now and again, Vic Joseph will reference Carmelo Hayes, and he'll reference a Casanova. And I'm just like, oh my God, we are going there. And so it's done very strategically, and we love to see it. And so it shows Triple H respects indie wrestling companies that do shows during Mania. The other administration would have said no. Yeah, and it's not just that. It's clear that he respects what's going on across the wrestling world all year long, such that he would allow this to happen during Mania season. And that's amazing. Cindy,
a lot of us forget that Triple H was a wrestling fan before he became a wrestler. And that's really, I'm sure, where the root of it comes from, how deep his respect goes for the other companies as well.
Absolutely. Cindy O is here and says, did you see Julia's Stardom farewell match against Tam Nakano? It was incredible. That's super, super cool. We'll have to check that out for sure. Vince would have never had all this mentioning different personas outside. No, he would not have. But this is proof that, again, times have absolutely changed. And all that talk we had about Sting, it's Sting's birthday today. So happy birthday to you, Sting. We are super grateful for you and all that you have done. And again, I hope that you are enjoying retirement, because if anybody deserves it, sir, it is absolutely you. There are a couple of other birthdays we'll mention quickly. And then there's one more important piece of news, or two more important pieces of news, and we'll get out of here. Happy birthday also to the great Caprice Coleman. It's his birthday today. That's my good brother and sometime commentary partner. Of course, you guys can see him on Ring of Honor every week. And the partner of Matt Menard, Cool Hand. I almost call him Cool Hand Luke. That's a shame. That's a oh, gosh, what a terrible reference. I'm sorry. Anyway, happy birthday to both of these amazing talents from all of your friends here at WWT Live. Now, speaking of AEW, I do want to remind people, in case you do not know, that tonight will be 3 live hours of AEW. You'll have your normal AEW Dynamite showing, and then Rampage this week will not air on Friday. It will air live tonight. Of course, that's because March Madness kicks off tomorrow, and of course, those Turner stations will be airing college basketball. So tonight, make sure that you are checking out Dynamite and Rampage. Should be a pretty stacked show all the way around. It'll feel... well, I can't say it'll feel like an AEW pay-per-view, because then it would be 4 or 5 hours. It's only 3 hours, so we can handle that for AEW. Tonight, we will be hearing from Mercedes Moné, so it'll be interesting to hear what she has to say coming out of Boston, and maybe we'll get some idea on her future plans in AEW and when we might actually see her in the ring. I'm excited for this one. The Continental Championship is on the line. Eddie Kingston will defend against Kazuchika Okada. Now, keep in mind, this is not the Continental Crown, which apparently the Continental Crown is all three championships. This is solely the Continental Championship, which screams to me that tonight we will be hearing the hashtag and new. I don't see any way that Eddie Kingston, no offense, Eddie Kingston, but I don't see any way that Eddie Kingston defeats Kazuchika Okada to retain the Continental Championship. I just don't see it.
So what does that mean for the other two titles since they're a joint?
Well,
he will
obviously get to defend them separately, which is why they're being very specific about the Continental Championship as opposed to the Continental Crown, which represents the Triple Crown in all three. So it'll be this one, which is probably a good thing because Kazuchika Okada as the Ring of Honor World Champion in 2024, just call him forever champ at this point because, yeah, that's how that would work. So I definitely see him winning this Continental Championship. It only makes sense. Former IWGP World Champion, yeah, he belongs with gold. So looking forward to this. Also tonight, the TNT Championship will be on the line as it is Cage Copeland 3 in Toronto. I can only imagine how crazy this match is going to be. And I hope that it's not too predictable because, I mean, theoretically, Cage has won the last two. So a law of averages seems to say what it says. But they're in Toronto and anything could happen. And it would be wild if Adam Copeland lost again to Christian Cage. And if that happened, that'd be it. Like, I don't think we'd need to see this match anymore. So
you guys got a good looking Spike.
I'm sure Spike, yeah, will make an appearance because Spike looked pretty nasty. We'll likely get to see Spike make an appearance and the like. Another piece of news before we get out of here, and this is very interesting. It looks like there will be surgery coming for the SmackDown GM as Nick Aldis is apparently dealing with a torn bicep, and they're saying that he will have surgery. I think the timing for this is horrible just because, you know, this general manager wanted to be at his first WrestleMania. Now, maybe he could make it to WrestleMania and just have his arm in a sling, which, you know, I mean, he's not wrestling, so that could be a possibility.
Dylan said on Twitter, how heavy are those damn mics?
From what I'm seeing, he already had a surgery.
He had it already
today. Yeah, apparently.
Oh.
WWE on Fox posted a picture that he posted of a tweet or something that he said. He said just got out of surgery for ruptured bicep tendon.
Wow.
And yes, well, the sheets had it within minutes. Wow.
That's crazy. Wow. This particular article just came out 3 hours ago. So yeah. Wow. Okay. Cool. Well then, speedy recovery to you, General Manager, and maybe we'll see him on SmackDown this week with a sling. I mean, you know, he's not lifting anybody. So, yeah. All right.
Yeah, I think The Rock and Cody are doing all the lifting.
They are. And Roman will actually be there by himself this week. So that'll be fun to see. Any other thoughts, predictions, ideas, comments, anything before we get out of here tonight?
Just get here fast Friday. Just please get here. Just please. I'm itching.
Yeah.
I need it in my veins. I need it.
That's great. I think AEW is going to cook tonight. They are on a roll right now, and I think that they're going to continue that momentum, which I got to say, it's a good thing for all of pro wrestling. It's a really, really good thing. That's right, Boza. Toni Storm and Mariah May are in a street fight tonight against Deonna Purrazzo. Deonna Purrazzo and Thunder Rosa. That should be pretty entertaining tonight. So I'm looking forward to that. So yeah, this is going to be a great, great situation, I think, tonight for AEW. Again, AEW Live is always great to see, and they have been on an amazing roll. So we'll check that out again tonight. Looking forward to that. All right, Sed, let the people know how they can find you.
You can find me on these Twitter streets at Setsa, CEWD_SAYS, on the gram at Set is the Answer. I write for dailyddt.com, as well as this platform. You can catch me here Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays.
Honey.
Monday, Wednesday, Fridays here with the WWT crew as per usual. Mondays and Fridays, I got my Honey Pop predictions. You also can find me on Facebook, Wrestling W Honey, Wrestling with Honey TikTok, Wrestling with Honey Instagram, and the upcoming YouTube Wrestling with Honey podcast.
I am here for all of that. Of course, you guys can check me out at Bonafide across all of the social spaces. Just dropped some new content today talking about the best WrestleMania matches that were not the main event. You know, everybody's talking about who should be in the main event and why it's so important, but I believe that there are certain WrestleManias that we remember for matches that were not the main event versus what was actually the scheduled main event. So check that out at Bonafide. You can check out my commentary work for IWE and Southern Honor on IWTV. You can check out my work with All Caribbean Wrestling, who will be doing something Mania Week. So make sure you guys are checking that out. But you can check out my work with them on YouTube and my work with the Nightmare Factory on YouTube. I was with the Nightmare Factory last night for Student Showcase 13. So that will be out soon. And met Lex Luger last night, too. Just figured I'd throw that out there. Oh, on top of that, what else is going on? Ashe Wrestling, we're getting ready for another big show, April the 19th. It's called Cosmos. This is probably going to be one of the most amazing concept shows I've ever been a part of. We're dressing up. It's a whole literal other world kind of movie. So you don't want to miss it. It's April the 19th. You can get your tickets right now at ashewrestling.com. And there's some other content that's dropping that you'll be able to see and hear me on. So make sure you are checking out the socials for them as well. And of course, I'm here Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and whenever else the boss lady and the crew needs me. Speaking of the boss lady, you guys can find her at TK Trinidad. You guys know what to send her. You've been doing a great job. I am so proud of all of you. It is just, oh, matter of fact, you all deserve applause. You deserve applause. You deserve it. You deserve it. You have done a fantastic job. Continue to show her that Trick Williams love, and she will absolutely appreciate it, I am sure. Of course, check out all things Women's Wrestling Talk at WW Talk Pod across the socials and on our website, wwtalkpod.com. Some great interviews and great content celebrating Women's History Month. And, you know, we're leading into WrestleMania. There will be some great media Mania content happening there as well. So check that out. Of course, you can check out what's happening with our merch at wwtalkpodstore.com. And shout out to all of you amazing people in the chat, Cousin Ron, Special Little Nobodies, Jeffrey. And yeah, there's something interesting going on, Cousin. I can't quite put my finger on it, but yeah, there's something interesting happening there. Let's see. Matt, good to see you. Of course, Boza, MDB, Eric, Cindy Olves, good to see you in here. I feel like I'm missing some people. So if I missed your name, forgive me. You know, there's lots of folks hanging out in here, and I greatly appreciate all that you guys are doing. And oh, this is great. Oh, this is so good. Even if she had on Timberland standing on a stool with a ludicrous afro. Well done. Well done, sir.
He's on a roll.
He is on a roll. We love to see it. So thank you guys for supporting all that we are doing. Stay connected to this amazing network because we've got more great content coming the way you'll be able coming your way. We'll be able to be back here this Friday. No telling what will happen, but certainly we will be here to cover it. It's part of Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network on the planet.
Peace. Thanks for joining WWT. Don't forget to like us on all social media platforms at WW Talk Pod. Like and subscribe on all video and audio platforms like yesterday, my G. And check out our website at WWTalkPod.com. Thanks for watching Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network on the planet.